Why did you want to return to the Buffalo School Board?
A few different reasons. One, unfinished business. When you're on the board, you always think that there's all this time and there's all these things that you can accomplish. And when you're on the board, there's many distractions. So sometimes you don't achieve all your goals. So there's some things I'd want to. The second reason is that, you know, twice the people in the Park District, you know, voted me in. And there are some turbulence, some unsettled moments. So I figured it was time to come back and just with my experience, you know, bring a little stability to the position at this point.
What do you feel that's been left that wasn't completed?
A variety of different things. You know, one of the things that I know that when I was aboard, transportation was an issue that I felt that we didn't give full attention to. So both the, you know, the restrictions on the bus passes and how that really just impacted so many different things. Children's ability to participate fully in all the different activities that the district and the city of Buffalo offers. Oftentimes it was an excuse to put people off, our students off the bus. I felt that oftentimes our children were treated as unwanted guests. And oftentimes as the, you know, the largest customer of the NFTA, I really thought that we were overlooked. And we don't have a seat on the NFTA board. And oftentimes their decisions would just directly impact us. Like shuttles just wouldn't show, or specials just wouldn't show up to schools. And there wasn't an alternative. There's a variety of different things that we have that really needs to be addressed because such a sizable portion of our parents don't have a primary vehicle. They're either taking a cab or they're borrowing a car or asking someone to drive the students. And that's a huge problem that a lot of our suburban counterparts just don't have.
A huge, huge problem that's come up, and we've heard about it through the BTF, is the student behavior in the classroom, the discipline issues. Where do you dig in on that problem?
One thing we want is to make sure that our students are receiving a full education. You know, presently they can be suspended for 5 days and there's not a lot a parent can do. And I know that there are some parents that will tell you that, you know, this child or my child is your problem after 3 o'clock, or why are you wasting my minutes? But conversely, you have parents that are engaged, that want to make sure, that don't want to wait 5 days, that don't want their child to lose, you know, a full week's worth of instruction. That puts them behind. And if they're struggling with other problems, it puts them farther behind. The flip side is that we have to make sure that one disruptive child doesn't disrupt the whole classroom. And that's what you'll hear from teachers and other parents. So oftentimes our schools don't either have the staffing or the, you know, my preference would be to try and keep the child in the school where possible. But sometimes that's a tall order because we don't have either additional teachers or staffs or a classroom that could be dedicated to that. What can we do in the interim to try and make sure that child receives the highest education, you know, where possible? We have to make sure that we get the material to them as quickly as possible. We have to make sure that whatever possible that we can find, you know, I don't want the child to wait for days before they receive some type of instructional material. And we have to, you know, address the underlying problem. I will say, and I'll put my day job on it, a lot of times I'm on a clean sweep and I see a child who's running the streets at 11 o'clock in the morning. You know, so if we put them out of the school and they're at home, but there's no supervision at home, so they're out on the street, that doesn't help anybody either.
Next month, the state's mental health law goes into effect for schools. Is the school district ready to put a mental health curriculum in place by September?
I know that I haven't seen the board packet. I'm told that's the largest board packet that we've had of the year. That's my introduction to the board. Yeah, I mean, we have, you know, one of the big things about having a large school district is that we have the resources available to us. So,
what about the financial situation of the school district? We know that it's a very lofty amount for the teachers in their contract. Is there concern that it could be headed toward another control board situation?
You know, there's always concerns. You know, every dollar is precious, but the long term, you know, we're in that spot between some of the changes that were in the BTF contract, where we're supposed to see the benefits, and now we're in that transitional period from when we have existing teachers and the newer teachers will be at a different rate with the different benefits clause, which we should be, but that's going to take some time. So while we're transitioning, yeah, we have to watch every single dollar. The other thing too, though, is we have to be careful is that the district has, you know, there have been some successes. If you want to look at graduation rate and some other things, I mean, there have been. You know, in engagement and other things. So we don't want we don't want to take a step backwards.
How can you in some way bring this board together from some of the divide that we often witness and kind of hope they're going to get passed at some point?
And you hope, I would like to think that in the past, we would say that, that we were a married couple, but at least we agreed to go to counseling. That even though we did fight, that we would try to have a retreat, we'd try to work out our differences, that we're always trying to, you know, present when possible united front. It doesn't mean that the board was a monolith. It doesn't mean that there wasn't sometimes a grand divergence of opinion, but it meant that we tried to come together and bring forth policy that the majority of us could stand behind, and hopefully unanimously. But that takes time. It's different in that you have to have a cup of coffee with somebody. You have to explain what you want to do. You have to build relationships. You have to come to the table with a policy that the majority of the board can stand behind.
Looking back 10 years, what has changed for the better and what has changed for the worse since?
You know, one of the things that I was proud to be a part of was, bringing Say Yes in. And I would say that that really changed the way that many of our students viewed, post-high school education, because, you know, college was always there, but I'll say it was more of an abstract concept. So when suddenly, wow, there's money for me to go to school, and you know, our partners at UB brought in students that had everyone fill out a FAFSA, so now suddenly the FAFSA is filled out. So I'm not, you know, this kind of complicated document has been filled out for me, and, you know, every kid was applying to a college. Wow, so not only did I'm going to get money to go, and I've applied to a college, I've been accepted, well, maybe I'll go. And that changed. Well, if I'm going to go to college, then maybe I want to stay in school because I can go to college, or I can go, you know, maybe I want to go to, you know, maybe I'm going to be an electrician, maybe I'm going to work out of the hall, maybe I want to go to a culinary institute, I want to be a great chef. But that changed things from just this abstract concept, because many of our students, that will be the first time they're going to college. So that changes that they're the first kid that will be, you know, part of their family that's going to school. That changes the dynamic as also. That was some of the positive things as well. The negatives would be that I think that we're still talking about, you know, school suspensions, that we're still talking about admission to our criterion-based schools. You know, some of the things that were here when I was here, and in some ways admissions to our criterion-based schools have gotten worse. Those things that I'm just a little surprised. I was a product of the desegregation order. I went to a magnet school, part of the original, you know, and we were known for having great magnet schools in Buffalo, whether it was Waterfront or traditional, the campus system, City Honors, you know, et cetera, and just to see how much that's changed.
Is it a good time to be back on the board?
I hope so. I don't know if I'm going to be here for 12 days or 12 months, but in the time that I have, I'm going to try and make some changes.
Lou, thank you so much, and good luck in your second round in the Park District seat.
Thank you very much, Eileen. It was very nice speaking to you.